Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We've been talking about the rapture and the rise of the Antichrist and the tribulation period coming up, the tribulation years coming up. And so if you've been with us the last 3 or 4 weeks, you know we've been leading up to the time of the tribulation in regards to the rapture and the catching away of the saints. And so today I'm going to speak about the rise of the Antichrist, and there's a lot of confusion out there about the Antichrist, but the Bible is very clear that the Antichrist is a person and that he will be making his appearance on the world stage at the beginning of the tribulation period, that he will be making his appearance and that he will be working with the devil, he will be working with Satan. And so I'm going to be speaking about the scriptures that point out the very obvious existence and reign of the Antichrist here on this earth. Well, Daniel, the prophet Daniel, in the book of Daniel, Daniel 9:27, was given the picture and the premonition of the Antichrist. In Daniel 9:27, it says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." Okay, this is the 70th week of Daniel and Daniel's prophecy that he was given of the end time events. And so it says, "He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate." That is, he shall make the temple desolate even until the consummation, that's referring to the end of the 70th week, "and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate," or shall be poured upon the one making the temple desolate. Well, that's a lot of hidden, you might say, coded language there, but basically is what it's saying is that at the start of the 70th week, the Antichrist, that is the one, shall confirm the covenant with many. The Antichrist will make a covenant with Israel, but at the beginning of the week, he will be in consort, or he will be in cooperation with Israel. The whole world will worship him. The whole world will bow down to him. He will be a prominent figure, and he will be just what the world is itching for, what their itching ears are asking for. But in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. In other words, in the midst of the week, he's going to break that agreement. He's going to break that covenant that he has with Israel, and he will then reveal himself to be the one who is standing against the kingdom of God. He will reveal himself to be the one who is the all-out Antichrist, the cohort of Satan, and he will then be raised up, and he will be defeated at the end of the week. The breath of the Lord shall defeat him. It tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2 that the breath of the Lord shall defeat him at his coming. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, "And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." And so all of that takes place at the end of the 70th week of Daniel, at the end when Jesus comes back with the saints, and he will defeat the Antichrist and the beast at the Battle of Armageddon. And so it says that the Lord is going to consume him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Well, many people say, is the Antichrist here? And they name certain personalities or certain politicians, and they say, is the Antichrist here? Is he among us now? Well, John, in 1 John 4:3, the Apostle John spoke about the Antichrist in his Epistle of John, verse 4, and he says, "And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." Well, so what John is saying is that the spirit of the Antichrist, that evil spirit, that demonic evil spirit, is already in the world. John says it's already here. but the actual personality, that actual person who we could actually say that is the Antichrist, that person has not made his appearance yet. He will not make his appearance yet until after the rapture, until the saints are taken out and the Holy Spirit in its present form and function here on this earth is taken away, that restrainer is taken away, and so the lawless one can then come forward and take his place as the ringmaster or the head of the demonic kingdoms here on this earth. And so John is saying the spirit of the Antichrist is here. He's already here, and he says every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that is the spirit of the Antichrist. And so if you do not confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the spirit of the Antichrist, but the personality, that person who will dominate the world and be worshipped by all the people on the earth, that person has not showed up yet. When he comes, you will know it. If you're still here, you will know it, because he's going to be like no other personality any time and any place here on this earth. Well, in Revelation 13, we have the first descriptions of the Antichrist. We have his first appearance. He does appear in Revelation 6 briefly, and he comes riding out on a white horse in Revelation 6, verse 2. And John is shown this picture of a man coming out on a white horse. And in verse 2 it says, "I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." And so this picture of the Antichrist was first painted for us in Revelation 6. But the most complete picture of the Antichrist and the beast is in Revelation 13. And I'm going to start reading here. If you have your Bible there, open it up to Revelation 13. We're going to take a look at the beast and the false prophet and the mark of the beast, which all of this is described in Revelation 13 in great detail. And I'm sure all of you have heard about the mark of the beast. Many people say, well, it's the mark of the devil. They really don't know much about it. Other than that, in addition to that, they really can't tell you anything. But in Revelation 13, in this one chapter, you're introduced in great detail to the beast, to the false prophet, or another beast coming up out of the earth. And these are the two of the three of the devils. Unholy Trinity, that is, the beast, the false prophet, and the devil make up the devil's unholy trinity, and two of the three are introduced here in great detail in Revelation 13. Well, in verse 1 it says, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority." And so it tells us that the beast, the Antichrist, is going to rise up out of the ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns. Well, most people think this is the old revived Roman Empire, the ten nations of the old Roman Empire, and says the beast is going to come out of this former Roman Empire, and that the authority given him to do his dastardly deeds, the authority given him to act on behalf of Satan, comes directly from Satan himself. It says that the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. And so he will be given that power. It's with the acknowledgement, the sovereign acknowledgement of the Lord God Almighty, that he receives his power, because God allows and grants all things here on this earth, and nothing happens without his acknowledgement and without his permission. But the dragon, that is the devil, the Satan of old, that dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. In other words, it appears that he's going to receive a mortal wound, it appears that he's going to die, and then he's going to be revived, and all the world then is going to marvel and even worship him more because of these great powers that he displays. And verse 4, so they worshiped the dragon and gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. In other words, after he's revived, after he is miraculously recovered or resurrected from this mortal wound, he's given authority by the devil to continue for 42 months. That's 3.5 years. And that coincides precisely with what Daniel prophesied, that the beast would make a covenant and then break it at the beginning or in the middle of the week, at the middle of the 3.5 years. And so after 3.5 years, he breaks the covenant that he has made with many, and full nature and full demonic deception that is incorporated in this man will then be on full display for all the world to see. Well, in verse 5 of chapter 13, it says, he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And so he will have great power, he will have great authority. His authority comes directly from the devil by permission of God, and so he is going to be the number one figure that people look to. They will worship him, they will bow to him, they will listen for his every command and his every dictum, and so he is going to be the head of all the demonic activity here on this earth. And verse 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. And then in verse 11, we're introduced here by John's vision, we're introduced to another beast, and this is the false prophet spoken of in Revelation 19. We're introduced to another beast, and this is the religious figure who will stand side by side with the beast. He'll stand side by side and in perfect unity with him, and the two then will carry on this demonic kingdom that's rising up against the God of heaven. Verse 11, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. In other words, this second beast, the false prophet, is there to promote and to push the first beast into greater prominence. And this second beast also receives his authority from the dragon. He speaks like the dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast. And then in verse 13, it goes on to say that he performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. In other words, those that don't bow down to the beast, those that don't worship him, they're going to be killed. They're going to be singled out for persecution and death. And so this second beast, the false prophet, who has been given his authority from the devil, from the dragon, he is going to promote the program, and he is going to promote the man that we know as the Antichrist or the first beast. And now in the last few verses, starting in verse 16, we're going to talk about the mark of the beast. And this is a mark that is placed on those who worship the beast. This is a mark on those who will bow down to the beast and want to cooperate fully with him and with his program here on this earth. And in verse 16, it says that the second beast, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. And so that number 666, I'm sure you've all heard it before, and that is the mark of the beast, and it will be placed on the right hand, and it will also be placed on the forehead. And so there's going to be two places where this mark could be given. And the number 666, we know 6 is the number of man. That is from the fact that man was created on day 6 in the account of Genesis. Man was created on day 6, and so we attribute to man that number 6. And it says that the people who receive this mark, those that have submitted to it and acknowledged that the beast is their Lord and they worship him, that the people who receive this mark are going to then be able to participate in the economy of the day, of the world in that day. And so if you don't have the mark, if you go to town, you're going to get persecuted and killed. If you have the mark, you're going to be able to go buy your groceries. You're going to be able to go buy your gasoline and the things that you need. But if you don't have the mark, you'd better stay out of town. You'd be best to just stay out of town, stay out in the country, and get your gun and go shoot a deer, because you're not going to live if you try to attempt to participate in the economy. You will be spotted as a rebel. You'll be spotted as one who has his devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the God of heaven, and so you'll be spotted as a rebel, and you will be killed and removed then as one who is in rebellion to the beast, who is to be worshipped by all and every tribe and tongue and every nation. Well, it's curious that in 2 Thessalonians there's a scripture here that says that the coming of the lawless one will even be aided by God in a way, because God is going to push a spirit of delusion. He's going to unleash a spirit of delusion on those who have not believed the truth. And so they will much more easily be taken in by the beast. They'll be much more easily taken in by the false prophet, by the program of the devil. And in 2 Thessalonians 2, chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders." And verse 10, "And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved." And verse 11, "And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." And so I say, God is going to give those who did not believe in him as their Lord and Savior, God is going to give those who did not acknowledge him and did not pursue righteousness, God is going to give them a little nudge and a little push and a strong delusion. And he will send them a spirit of strong delusion that they will be easily taken in by the devil, by the beast, and by the false prophet, and by the kingdom of the unholy, unrighteous, and those who did not believe the truth. Well, beloved, I hope that is not you. I believe in my own heart and in my own study, I believe that the saints, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, I believe that those saints are going to be taken up in the rapture, and if you would place it in the book of Revelation, I believe it would go at the beginning of Revelation 4, before the seals are broken for the title deed to the earth, and before all this mayhem and chaos, and before the lawless one is revealed. So I believe I'm going to be taken out of the way. I hope you go with me. I hope you're in heaven with me, and we're dancing on the streets of gold before the Lord Jesus Christ and all the angels that are bowing down to him. I pray that you are there with me. I believe that's where I'm going to be. I have no question about what my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I hope your name is written there as well. If you have any doubts about whether your name is written there, I hope you get that settled in your mind today, that you may know, that you may know, that you may know that you are saved, that there is no doubt. If you've never made a confession of faith of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that today. Confess his name, acknowledge him, repent of your wicked deeds, repent of your sin. We all have sin in our life, and we can't wait until we get everything cleaned up to come to the Lord. You just come to the Lord the way you are. You come in your filthy rags, and Jesus Christ will cleanse you. He will wash you with the water of the Word. He will wash you with the waters of baptism. And as you acknowledge your sin before him and you confess your sin, then Jesus Christ says, I will take you into my sheepfold. I am the door to the sheepfold. Come in and you can abide with me, and I go to prepare a place for you for all eternity. Well, if you've never done that, if you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to do that today. I beg you to do that today. The time is growing short. The time for Jesus to come back for the saints could happen at any day. It could even happen today or tomorrow. And so I pray that you be ready. I pray that you have oil in your lamp and that you have your wick trimmed and that you're ready. And that if Jesus comes back, you are ready to go with him. That you have no worries, that you have no regrets, and that you are ready to go with him, to abide with him in heaven for all eternity. Well, if you've made that confession of faith, you have nothing to worry about. If you haven't made it, get down on your knees and do business with the Lord today. Acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior. Just say, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. I confess and I repent of all my sins. I want to make a change in my life. I want to turn and go in a different direction. I want you, Lord, to be the captain of my ship. I want you to be the Lord and the King of my life. And if you do that today, Jesus will be more than faithful to acknowledge your confession, and he will give you the strength to walk the walk and talk the talk, and he will give you the strength. And no matter what comes ahead, no matter what's coming in the days ahead, the spirit of the Antichrist is here, and so we know it's going to get much worse. And we know that those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are going to come under persecution, but we also know the end of the story. And the end of the story is that we are on the winning side. We're on the side of victory, and that death no longer has a hold over us. Well, if you make a decision of any kind, let me know. Drop me a line, pureprairie@hotmail.com. That's pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know you made that decision. I'll get some information and some literature to you to start you on your Christian walk. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.